Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid. End of term.
End of term. We made it.
Should we play hangman on the board?
Watch Not Babe.
Crosses.
Babe, pig in the city.
We have got a bit of a giddy feel.
I know.
Yeah, we have actually.
Which has been fueled by
Prosecco.
And what do we know about Prosecco?
We know that I'm going to be a worse driver on the way. I'm just having a small one. We know it's the Italian version of champagne.
And apparently newly popular in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah. For listeners of previous episodes.
Yeah,
some the in-jokes. Callbacks. Yeah, good, isn't it, that we're done?
Good.
Yeah.
Which is a weird way to start.
I've really enjoyed it. It's like been the first term for me and Claire.
Yeah.
Does the headmaster want to give us this grade?
That's a really weird thing to say. Give us some feedback. Give us a report.
Nervous laughter for a moment.
Yeah. Don't make any of the jokes that are going through my head. No, it's been good. It's been really good. I've enjoyed it. I think it's been fun, especially considering we've gone up to 2 episodes.
Mm.
You know, it's literally twice the work. It's been really fun. It's actually, and it's been the biggest series of Maths UK in terms of duration.
Yeah,
but it's not dragged as much as other series have.
It's slightly affected my marriage, because anytime Johnny breathes or tries to talk during the show, I'm like, shh, I need to know what they're saying. He's not allowed to say anything.
Do you think it's affected our marriage?
Yeah.
Yeah, good or bad,
both.
No, we haven't spent much quality time.
No, that's true.
Together, have we?
It's been a bit all consuming, hasn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
Have you checked the Instagram? What's happening on the Twitter? X.
Oh my god.
Should we do a reel? We better do a reel.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But it has been fun as well. We were just saying it's nice to have a little break.
Yeah.
For those who are wondering. No, we're not doing Maths New Zealand. It started immediately after.
Is it starting literally on Monday?
It started last night. It started. You've gone to the kitchen.
Stop
and,
it.
And I tried to change the channel, but my body wouldn't let me.
Maths, says Maths. Thing is, it's such a lazy generalisation, but I don't have Kiwis pegged as drama queens. Right. I just imagine the Aussie one to be where that remains, and the Kiwi ones being like Canadians, too nice, maybe. Well,
that would be a nice change of pace.
That's true.
Let me tell you this soundbite that one of the women in the intro said. I'm pretty wild. One of the wildest things I've done is a sex tape in LA.
Whoa. So
well, that is
you
wild.
You're going to watch it now?
Okay. Maybe. It was JJ in there.
Yeah. We may be back with you in a few weeks if we get sucked in.
One bit of breaking news. I'm not sure if it's breaking news.
Oh.
You know, there were 36 episodes this year.
Yeah.
Supposedly, they're filming episode 37. Another reunion.
Are you serious?
Oh, is that the twist?
No.
Oh.
Oh, we'll come to what the twist may or
may not. I want to know what the bloody twist was.
Well,
I think we're just going to have to hypothesize about the twist rather than ever actually know.
Well,
there wasn't anything obvious. Was it Jordan?
Was it the Erica and Jordan thing? Do you think?
I think it was. I think it was either Erica and Jordan or it was Luke Ella and JJ.
I wasn't expecting Ella to... It could have been any of those things. It wasn't like one big twist. I was waiting for like spacemen to land take over.
Yeah, that's it. Twist is probably the wrong word for, to have been used, which, to be fair, I might have thrown into conversation.
It was definitely you. You're the twister. I was wondering if it was Jordan, like, I'm doing quotation marks, but like cheating on Ella? Erica. Or Ella saying no to JJ.
Yeah.
Or Luke and Jay breaking
up. Together.
Or, are we allowed to say what we now know? Have you seen on their Instagrams?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Shona has a new boyfriend.
Matt.
Yeah. Matt and Shona are together. So they met at the
reunion.
As far as we know.
And presumably it has Adrienne's blessing because she was like, I hope you find someone. And it wasn't like bad blood between them, was it?
No, not really. Not by the end of it. But we'll come to all that.
Sorry.
We're diving in. Yeah. So keen today.
Episode 37. Because if you remember last Christmas, they did a sort of one-off episode where people from the previous two series, Amy and Jonathan was on it.
Yeah. Did we watch that, though?
No, I was going to watch it because I felt obliged to do some tweeting. But then when it got to the day, I was just like,
I think we didn't actually watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch like Christmas film and stuff. And
Nativity.
Home Alone's not going to watch itself.
I don't know why you hate Nativity.
But yeah, so we might get a bit of a further update.
That would be good.
Christmas time, just based on what happened last year.
Okay.
I suppose one thing you could do, though, is I don't know if you know this either, is they're doing a series of live events.
Are they?
They are. Where it's the sort of two different ones. I think Terence has been organising them because he's sort of an events organiser.
And a youth worker and DJ.
Lest we forget the DJ. Scroll back to episodes 4, 5 and 6 where you two talk extensively.
I think he was gone by
episode 6.
But yeah, there are events where you go and you get a blow dry and...
You timed that deliberately.
I had a mouthful of Prosecco.
Omar did that deliberately.
Right, tell us what you're talking about. I'm very, very lost.
You buy tickets, you go for a blow dry. It's a bottomless brunch and like Arthur's just stood about.
Like a meet and greet thing.
Right. It sounds like the best and worst night in the history of the world.
Yeah. But there'll be like old school bangers. You get to see Luke.
I don't want to see Luke.
No. But I saw on Instagram... Uh-huh. In a reel that was subsequently deleted.
Ooh.
That had been cancelled.
Oh, really?
That tour, that meet and greet tour.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Oh, right.
Then I was going to show you when I couldn't find it.
Ah.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. Maybe the uptake was not as anticipated.
Maybe.
People don't really get the news from us, do they? Like, this might be true, it might not, we had a rumour.
It might be on, it might be off.
But maybe the twist.
Maybe there were too many people who wanted blow dries. They're trying to find a bigger venue.
Stop saying blow dries.
I know, seriously.
What? What's wrong with that?
Shall we get to the programme?
Yeah, all right. Well, how are we going to do it?
Yeah, we haven't even discussed this. We've been so busy.
Since we last spoke, there was another Final Vows episode, which was the most boring episode of the series.
Mm-hmm. Other than Ella and JJ?
It's a talking point, Ella and JJ, but I was still kind of bored.
We can skim over. Matt and Adrienne obviously both said yes. He said, "You're my rock." And I was like, oh, okay, that's quite full on. And then... who else was there? Tasha and Paul.
He said, "I love you," didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
and she said, like, today, tomorrow.
Forever. Oh, yes.
And then
you.
Ella and JJ. It was a twist-ish thing for me because I wasn't expecting her to say no. And I like that she was able to say that first.
Yeah.
And establish that she recognised it wasn't going well before he was able to say it and sort of potentially crush her a little bit.
Yes.
No?
Were you... No, I agree with you. Were you expecting her to say
it? I wasn't...
I wasn't expecting it, but I wasn't massively shocked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was quite dignified.
Yeah.
And it was like the right thing to do, but I thought maybe she'd be sort of clinging on. I do like him. Maybe we can make it work. Like, I'll say yes, see what he says. But maybe they talked about it. Who knows?
Maybe. I did a poll.
We need to clip together the times you go, I did a poll.
I did a tweet.
It was whether we would have liked JJ if he was in it from the beginning and matched with Ella. And it was virtually split down the middle.
I have really warmed to him.
He doesn't seem to know.
Really warmed to him because he's been really, like, quite classy in the way he's behaved since, obviously, the partner swap, which none of us liked. But how he's been with Ella, I feel like he's stayed quite calm and he's been saying things and he's explained himself relatively well. To his own admission, he's not great at showing how he feels. He's not great at explaining himself. But, you know, she was in tears saying how much he'd improved her confidence and, like, helped. No, Claire's got feelings.
I just don't buy it.
Really?
I don't know what it is. I don't buy it. And you asked me that as well, didn't you? Do I think I would have liked? How would I have voted on that poll? And I'm not entirely sure I would have said yes. I think I would still like him.
I've really warmed to him.
So nice.
No, I just me or him. No, I'm
you.
No, I have just really warmed him because I think he has given Ella something, and she said you're the first guy to treat me like this, to actually see me as the woman that I am. Or those aren't her words exactly, but a few times.
Obviously,
we're going to jump ahead a bit because I think she said it a couple of times at, like, the commitment ceremony, but at the vows, the final vows, she sort of thanked him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
Because they were the last couple in the final vows.
I thought it was Tash and Paul.
No.
Yeah, oh, right. It was Ella and JJ, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because I was wondering, I'd sort of assumed, along with other people, that they tend to end on a high, so they'd end on Tasha and Paul. And then when they didn't, I thought, oh, this is the twist. Is JJ going to say yes and Ella's going to say no, which is not what we're expecting.
Oh, wow.
And then for them both to say no, I thought, what the programme wanted us to feel was a triumphant moment of acceptance for Ella.
Yeah. Mm.
Which would be merited if, forget about her identity and all the struggle that she's come through, triumphant moment would be merited if they hadn't done something that just that ruined their integrity earlier in the process.
I do sort of agree, but at the same time, if Ella's story had just been her and Nathaniel, it would have been such a damp squib. And you never would have seen, is it squib or squid?
Squib,
yeah.
You never would have seen Ella, like, sort of pursued in a romantic way or able to show that side of herself. So, like, for the greater good, I'm actually glad that she got that chance, even though I still feel for Bianca, but Bianca will be fine. But I feel like had Nathaniel and Ella just sort of fizzled and gone, Ella wouldn't have had the chance to get that confidence.
I mean, it's good for Ella, but I'm like,
you're not bothered.
What they're aiming for is some, like, progressive moment from this series of maths with the trans community.
Yeah,
that could have happened without her, with Ella still coming out of the program without a successful relationship.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just as human beings, it's like, what's they're going to be remembered for? And even though we've just said, I like JJ, I think JJ's all right, I think Ella's all right, I don't think she's terrible. I mean, she probably needs to lay off the booze a bit.
We've got glass for a second. I don't know. I actually think by the end, their story of him supporting her and her finding her confidence had almost started to outshine the story of them swapping. Because Bianca had forgiven it all, Nathaniel wasn't even there.
Yeah.
I felt like it had stepped on a bit.
I feel like they've melted into the background a bit, to be honest. Even on a couples we're invested in level, they faded into the background. On a sort of socio-political level about this, oh, we're being really inclusive. For me, they faded into the background because it's like, well, I'm not bothered about it. I understand, you know, I like to think I'm nice to all people or whatever, you know, so it doesn't really... I don't think this is going to change anyone's mind about anything.
I actually disagree. No, I disagree. This is the first trans woman on TV and she was pursued by a straight guy who'd probably never dated a trans woman before. I assume JJ hasn't, but we don't know.
Mm.
And she was really moved by how much it had changed her confidence because she said, her exact words were like, yeah, I can know a straight guy will be like, this is my girl.
Mm.
That's what she said. A straight guy will be like, this is my girl. So I actually thought it was quite moving. I mean, I'm easily moved. And, you know, there was the piano or whatever, but I thought it was quite cool. And memorable, and like I think that clip might be shown in the future. You know, when we've got more inclusivity, obviously more trans people on TV or whatever, they might be like, oh well, back in 2023 we had the first person. They might show the clip and we might be like, oh, we've come on a long way since then. But
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think this comes right back to the very very first episode we did, where we spoke about, actually it might be the second, where we spoke about Ella at the wedding, and we were saying, I hope the whole political elements, the social elements of trans rights isn't going to be hung around her neck.
Yeah.
And, and I think that is the case, because look, she is just an individual who, like all individuals, has fucked up. So for me, because I like to think I am not prejudiced against people, what I think about is like, oh, what a great, not wow, what a great moment for the trans community. I think, oh,
take Ellie, her on her own merit.
Yeah, Ellie fucked up there a bit.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think I was just moved at the end by the fact her confidence had shifted and it had been overall positive for her. And they looked like they were going to leave as genuine friends.
Because well, JJ looked like he was leaving to go bowling.
With his shirt. I don't know. I mean, I might be wrong. I just...
I feel like we should have been more invested in that story. And then that would have been a bigger payoff at the end than it actually was. Then maybe more people would have been moved in the way that you were.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I was people were that much invested in them as a couple, them as individuals, their journey, their story, what have you. And it almost felt a bit like a big jump from, we're having these difficulties. She talks to me like, you know, crap or whatever when she's drunk. Then all of a sudden, you know, we've decided we're not going to be together, but my confidence is this. It was like quite a big jump, I thought.
I think her confidence thing came boiled down to just being pursued by a straight guy who accepted her with no qualms.
But that was the case at the beginning then of their relationship. So
nothing had
there
changed.
Was no sort of
growth,
growth journey. You know, there was not enough to get invested in as viewers, I think, with those two.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because... you know, we want to get invested in them, but it didn't feel like there was enough.
Well, that's sort of the same with Tasha and Paul, because again, you would think they were the sweethearts of the programme to start with, and then people start being turned off Tasha a little bit. So then by the time you get to the end and they're the massive, supposedly the massive love story, and you're just like, yeah, that's why I put a tweet out saying, when they both, you know, recommitted, and I took a photo of them kissing and I just put thumbs up, fair enough. I'm not that fussed.
What do you think that's about then? Why are we not that fussed? Because just thinking back to other couples that have stayed together, like Jenna and Zoe, for example.
Yes.
Then we were invested in them, and that was, you know, kind of...
I don't know. I don't like Tasha's American accent. She always does.
She does do that, doesn't she?
I think, in fairness to Tasha, it's been interesting to see that her argument with Erica didn't spiral.
No.
So in a way I was like, okay, good. That shows growth, or that shows that like it's all been buried, and none of us wanted to think that Paul was going into this really volatile relationship. But I think it had all settled down a little bit, which made me feel better. I mean, I liked their final vows because it did feel like a genuine couple making a genuine commitment and talking about, you know, we're going to move in together and stuff like that. I didn't get the sense that either of them were doing it for clout or for publicity. It felt quite like real boyfriend, girlfriend. Like quite, you know, they have that little nervous giggle before they say something to each other, or he does, and then she like turns away, and like I get quite a genuine vibe from them.
Yeah, definitely.
But I know what you mean. Like no one's been like edge of your seat, like love story.
Yeah, I'm not been like swept off my feet by it. Diabetes.
Wow.
I read a story the other day.
Look on your face. I've got no idea where this is going.
Tasha is, I wouldn't say upset, but she's disappointed that her type 1 diabetes hasn't been shown through the process.
Oh, wow. Yes, I saw that on Instagram.
Well, one of the reasons she's disappointed was to raise awareness about diabetes. They showed she was filmed like him doing her insulin injections or whatever. But also that it explains, she said it explains some of my mood, because my mum's got type 2 diabetes, and if your sugar's going low, you get very irritable.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Why wouldn't they have shown any of that?
No, it seems like a sitter.
I do remember a throwaway comment, and I can't remember who it was at.
I need some fucking sugar!
Not quite that. But she cheered with someone, and it was some comment about type 1 diabetes or something like that. So I don't know if somebody else in the cast also had it. but it was like at a mixer or a dinner party or something. I remember that as like a throwaway thing, and then I saw that on our Instagram.
Right,
but it was like, you know, certainly not made a
That's sort of thing. A shame, isn't it? Because like visibility on anything seems like it'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're watching and you're a younger person watching E4 and you see someone, you'd be like, oh, yeah. Cool, so it's not going to hold me back. I can have
To go back to the Ella argument, or just because I wasn't wowed by Ella personally, it's a good thing to have trans person on TV. But you know, like the same thing. It would have been good to. It's a big part of her life.
Yeah.
And you know, it seems a shame to not show. Instead of one of the shots of Paul jumping up and down on the bed, had her doing her injections.
It's a shame that she's disappointed as well, because she probably thought she could advocate for it. And I guess you just don't know at all how you're going to be edited or what's not going to be shown.
Yeah.
You can't guarantee anything.
The dinner party.
Can we vote? Was Arthur's lookalike John McClane from Die Hard, a Backstreet Boy, or an extra in Step Up? Step Up to the Streets.
I mean, that was blatantly, don't give a fuck anymore.
I'm not trying to be a Chelsea boy anymore.
Deliberately non-Chelsea boy.
I've talked about the revenge dress, you know, Diana's revenge dress. That was the revenge shirt.
Vest,
yeah. Oh, no. Not for dinner.
I heard somebody refer to, you know, it used to be called like the wife beater, the vest. I've heard it referred to as the partner respecter. That's like the woke term for the partner respecter.
I just don't think that fits as well.
No, it doesn't carry anything to it. Oh, like it's his endearing side. Like, did he not read the invite?
But he did another classic Arthur thing as well, of where Adrienne came in by herself, instantly starts crying, and Arthur's just going, fucking hell, where the fuck's Matt?
That was insensitive. Poor Adrienne.
I can't help but love
tears.
Him. He's so funny.
What did you think of Laura saying, nice to see he's dressed up for his ex-wife?
Yeah, I mean,
she's right.
If you break up with them, you can't then choose what they wear to the reunion.
Yeah, I mean,
I think she probably wanted to feel like he dressed up to catch her attention and be like the one that got away, but he just didn't give a fuck. Yeah.
Would it be better to like to overdress and be like, you know, like Thomas came back tan, buff.
I know. Like, I think it'd be funnier if Arthur had turned up like in a shark's outfit or something, just something really random.
Like the one from Thomas's closet.
Yeah. Someone's probably got one.
Yeah, I can sort of see it both ways. I mean, Laura was polite to him and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so underdressed that it had to be a power move. It couldn't be anything else.
It was ridiculous.
It was weirdly out of like, it just didn't fit with that dinner party at all.
The thing is, I'm sure other people have done that in Australia, but it's Australia.
Turned
isn't
up
it?
In a vest
and flip flops
because it was like summer,
Brisbane.
Oh, who was it that turned up in shorts?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it might have been Matt from last year.
Matt last year, he came in dressed as like a chimney sweep.
Oh, I think I remember. We need visuals on this podcast. Yeah, bless us.
That was bad. And Brad coming in with, as I put, his partner, the universe.
Did you do a tweet about that?
I did.
Didn't know if I was shocked or not shocked that the people who were asked to leave were back.
Yes.
It's like, you're asked to leave, Brad and Luke, and then you come back. It's almost like, I'm glad they were there, because you want to hear from them. But you're sort of like, I don't quite get. If it had been a worse crime, so say somebody was removed for like a racial slur, or like a homophobic slur, would they be asked back to the dinner party? Or would it, how far do you have to cross the line?
Yeah.
So we had physical violence. I know it wasn't huge, but that was why Luke left. We had coercive control. That's why Brad left. And I actually did want to hear from them. I did want to see them again. Yeah.
But what would they have to do?
Yeah, what would they have to do to be like removed and then not invited back?
Yeah, well, where is the line?
Applying for next year.
God.
Push it, you know.
I kick your dog. I don't know. More of like a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
It was mad, the dinner party, because...
Yeah, full stop. And scene.
Normally it's like, oh, the mingly bit goes on for, you know, 15, 20 minutes or something. We were over halfway through an hour and a half episode, and there were still people turning up.
I know.
Terrence and Portia coming in. I'd totally forgotten about Wayne and Margaret when they came.
Wayne and Margaret. Where? I looked at you and I was like,
Sarah's like, who?
I don't have any notes. I don't remember.
Because she lives on the coast, but he wants to live somewhere totally landlocked.
You're a nutter.
But wasn't it, because it was interesting, they had people come back. Well, this is more the commitment ceremony. But even at dinner party, like Terence and Portia didn't say a word to each other.
Yeah, no.
I did find, God. I didn't love that from either side, really, because like, you've agreed that you're not going to be together.
Yeah.
But A, you're on TV. I mean, yeah. To save face, at least, I'd be polite. To look like the bigger person, at least. And maybe that's selfish because I'd just be concerned about my public image, but I'd be like, friendly, ask them how they are. But there was a moment in the commitment ceremony when he went to give her a little side hug, and she went, we don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, actually, I think it was an olive branch from him.
Yeah.
So I think there's an element of like, yeah, you might despise them, but what have you got to lose by asking what they've been up to? Or
yeah, and at the dinner party, didn't somebody ask him if he was going to speak to his wife? His ex-wife or whatever. And he went, fuck that.
Oh my goodness.
In a bit of a jokey kind of way, but he obviously was like, no, I've made my decision.
I'll
on
tell
that
you
one.
Though what you've got to lose by starting conversation with her. He's already lost some clothes and some watches.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Now,
I'm not accusing her because we do think the number one suspect is the badger that broke into the room. We referenced on that particular episode. But he's probably like, what am I going to gain from saying?
I actually had forgotten about that.
I've already got the blow dry tour up and running.
I just think to the very fact it's on TV, I'd be like, you're right.
Yeah.
I tried. Yeah. Do you know what you said? Then you can say you tried.
You were happy to see Sean again.
Oh, yeah.
They're sweet.
He looked nice, didn't he, as well?
He did basically say, like, this process was much more intense.
Yeah, and it's good for him, he's right.
What was the question they were... Was there an honesty box?
Yes.
So were they... Oh, everyone had different questions, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right.
So they were asked, what would you do differently? Or why didn't it work?
Why didn't it work, I think.
And he was really honest, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was like, I'm so sorry.
Wasn't in the right place.
Yeah, and I think that was big of him because he was like, it affected your experience of the show because I wasn't ready to be here, which must be true because he just cut and run.
Yeah.
But Mark, I really like Mark. He seemed like relatively happy and said his confidence had grown.
Yeah.
And he was all right because I was worried like that was a horrible thing to happen to him.
It is a shame because I feel we could have got invested in them.
Oh, definitely.
I think they're a couple we could have got invested in, aren't they?
Maybe quite comical.
Yeah.
Like watchable.
Yeah, definitely.
Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe if they'd come in at the beginning, we might have got more invested. But actually, would that have been better or worse for Sean? We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd have liked to have seen more of them. So it's a shame.
What were some of the other honesty box questions? Because those were probably quite interesting. If we could remember them.
Oh
Adrian and Matt's kicked off.
Should we talk about that? Well, they came back in separately, obviously. As we said, Adrian just started crying straight away.
Which shows real feelings, I think. Because he was accusing her of not ever really liking him enough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But she was emotional to even see him.
Yeah. To even walk in on her own.
Yeah.
Knowing that everybody else would know it hasn't worked.
But
and she's the first one of them there as well.
I was going to say 99% of them walked in on their own.
Well, yeah.
No one's left.
But people were expecting them to walk in together, weren't they?
Shona was glad they didn't.
Eyes lit up.
So what was this? Who's this man mountain? Who was... what was their question? Just what was the real reason we broke up? Or?
I think so. Yeah,
I think that's right. Yeah, it was what was the real reason? But I'm still a bit confused. Even after the commitment ceremony, what is the reason that they've split up? Because it sounds like, you don't text me enough. You're not really... You know, I work long hours. It sounds like stuff that if you were really bothered on either side, you could work around it.
Well, if PCB was here, he called bullshit on Luke and Jay, which was a much sadder... I thought Luke and Jay was much sadder because it was quite clear that one wanted it and one didn't.
Yes.
But I think if Paul had been there, he would have said, forget all the texting excuses, forget the distance. You clearly didn't have strong enough feelings or want to fight for each other because it did just fizzle out and it sounded like... they both said it was mutual.
Yeah.
I think if you've got strong feelings, distance is like a fun challenge of like, where can we meet next weekend? Like, I miss you and it's not... You know, it's...
I know.
It's something that you want to overcome together.
Yeah.
I think they wanted it to work. But the reality is they weren't... There wasn't that passionate thing to...
And did they want it enough if they allowed it to fizzle out?
Yeah.
And it's no one's fault. No one's to blame.
It seemed quite equal, didn't it?
Yeah, they didn't... Matt, I'm a bit surprised Matt said he was head over heels because you should tell his face. But... And Matt seems like a nice guy, definitely. Yeah. But I'm a bit surprised that he says he was head over heels for her, because if she just wants you to text her back and stuff, like how much fighting are you doing?
Exactly. And that's why I said at the vows, he said, "You're my rock." And I was like, that's a very big thing to say to somebody, unless you're going to fight to make them... Mm. I'm not saying he didn't put in the fight, because actually of the two of them, he seemed much more concerned that it had ended.
Mm.
But like the texting thing is such an excuse, because... You find the time. It takes 10 seconds to reply to a text. If you like somebody, you find the time, you find the energy.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to, especially if you're not living nearby.
Yeah, but you also want to. They're the first thing you think about when you wake up.
Yeah. And that she was talking about him not texting enough, wasn't she? But then PCB did say it's not really about the texting.
No, but
it's about the connection. It's about the trust. It's about the effort.
Right.
So that was when they were talking about it at the dinner party. And then it flicked to the experts.
Right.
So he was saying, like, it's you know, the texting is like the kind of upper level of what Adrienne actually wants. And what she actually wants is connection, effort, trust. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to find a way to build that if you're not together. And so she was asking for more effort, connection, trust. And it was coming across as, I want you to text me more.
But now I'm getting confused, because that's so similar to Jay and Luke.
Yeah, it was really similar.
That was Jay and Luke, because actually Matt did want the relationship to work with Adrienne, whereas Luke didn't want it enough.
But I think as well, with Adrienne and Matt, she was saying these things, and just like we saw at previous dinner parties, she wasn't getting heard.
Right.
So she was saying these things of like, I want you to text me more, I want us to, whatever it was. I think we only saw the text and example. And, you know, she said something like, and it's just, you know, this is how he is if I should say how I feel.
Yeah.
And it's just disregarded. He's not actually hearing it.
Why was she telling everyone what a work rota is? How did that get
7 till 9. Yeah. I think because, I can't remember specifically, but the impression I got was she was saying like, I work a lot. So it's that thing of, I'm putting in the effort with you.
Right.
And I'm working, like, you know, I'm out the house like 14 hours a day or whatever, and I'm putting in the effort with you, and I'm not getting that back. And I think she was also saying, for her to put the effort in, it has to be worth it. And if it's not worth it, she's going to do it. Then she brought it to an end.
Yeah. I've just thought of something else as well. So their relationship was probably quite physical. Like, they did fancy each other.
Yeah.
The conversation wasn't firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like full of jokes, full of like private jokes, full of whatever.
Yeah.
That affectionate silliness. So actually, if you're distanced from somebody and you're not physically seeing them, and you can't be like sexual or affectionate in that way, and the texting is quite dry.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
That there's not enough to keep it afloat.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not the sort of couple who really like engage intellectually and like humorously.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Once you're physically not in the same space, you know,
because some people probably come alive separated, because they'd write like beautiful long messages or send funny voice notes or...
Oh God, I might.
What, they might actually speak on the phone?
I don't like speaking on
you
the phone.
You hate speaking
I actually
on the phone.
Don't like speaking on the phone. But that's why a voice note is good, because you can just send it and be like, listen in your own time.
But the issue I have with voice notes is you can often not listen as quickly as you want to.
You can do
so
it on
the odd
forward.
Occasion.
You can listen on time and half.
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean like. What I mean is, so if you send me a text message when I used to be in the office, I could read it. But if I'm in an office, you every now and then send me a voice note. And I was like, well, I can't listen to that until like lunchtime when I can go. Because I don't want everybody to hear it around me.
The voice note is perfect when I can't be asked. When it's a long thing that requires a detailed explanation of what I want for tea.
Yeah. Get in the kitchen.
But then a voice note is perfect. But anyway, I don't want to. If we've run a long distance relationship... Talking on the phone.
I still don't think we'd speak on the phone.
But that's why I think jokey, flirty WhatsApps throughout the day would keep that afloat. Back and forth with a little bit of like drive, humour, you know, some sass.
Yeah.
And not just like, what did you have for lunch? Unless there's a joke at the end. I don't know, you need something.
Was it Adrienne who said we don't text good morning or good night, or was that Jay and Luke, because there are some similar.
That was Adrienne. I want a good morning text. I want you to like wake up and
hear
about me, and I want
it. I don't remember.
I do get it. It does make sense that those are the kind of things you need to be making effort with, but well, you know,
because she said one day he didn't text till 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes,
but then I get You can see both sides on that, because obviously that doesn't show much care from his side. It doesn't feel like you're in a relationship with somebody. But also, you don't want to feel like the relationship is a chore. You want to be with someone who wants to message you. You don't want to have to demand. It's that thing of like, I want you to want to be with me. I don't want you to feel like you have to say you want. I don't know what I mean.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I thought it was interesting, Brad, coming back, because I don't know if it was the edit again, or, but he seemed even more ridiculous than before he left. His bollocks was so...
His what?
His bollocks.
Oh, right. I thought you said that. I was like, were they visible?
What?
No, but it was just so much more blatant and nonsensical, round in circles.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Oh, yeah. What have you? What did you most enjoy with your partner?
Oh, my goodness. And that honesty like, box question from Brad and Shauna was ridiculous.
He didn't mention her once.
No.
So funny. We once asked my gran at dinner around the Christmas table what her favourite Christmas memory was, and she started talking about one Easter, and we were like, no, no, you didn't understand the question. But like,
you could just say she said something racist.
I think she started talking about a really sad Easter story, and we're like, no, it's supposed to be a funny Christmas story.
Listen to the words.
And it was like, if you hadn't heard the question and you'd worked back from the answer, like Jeopardy, you would have thought he'd been asked, how have you grown on this show?
Yeah, what have you learned?
It was like, what was the most fun thing you did with your partner, or what was the most enjoyable
the best thing you and Shauna did together, or something like that, wasn't it? And he's just like, well, I learned this and I learned that and I've grown and I'm
because he is, again, even in that like really innocuous way, really weaponizing his emotional intelligence against the group, being like, well, I'm going to take the question, I'm going to make it about like spiritual growth, or I'm going to make it about how I'm better than you.
Yeah, it was just, I want to say this about me
whatever the
right
question,
now. Whatever the question is, this is what I'm going to say. And then I'll just say something on the end. Oh, yeah, the Maldives, that was great.
It was interesting as well. He kept saying, oh, I was just really deeply in lust. You said a million times, we were doing memes about it, how how quickly you'd said that you loved each other.
Yeah.
It's like you'd become an internet meme within an episode.
Yeah.
Like,
and he made himself look really bad with that backtrack, didn't he? Because he's kind of painted himself to be this, I'm so in touch with what I feel, I'm so in touch with my emotions, and you know, I'm so in touch with whatever, my inner world and all this stuff. And then he goes, no, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
What I meant was lust, not love, when I've said it like for 6 weeks or whatever it was, you know. He did make himself look bad with his backtracking.
I don't think, if you were in Brad's head, he's never seen Shauna as his intellectual equal. So I think if you had him on like a lie detector test, he'd be like, well, how could I be in love with her? She's not my equal. I don't think he would ever have seen her in that respect.
Yeah.
So he just saw her as like a hot girl who was never going to match him on being like in touch with her emotions and spiritual
inner
side.
World.
I have to commend Shauna actually, because
she was great.
She really called him out, but without being like, too angry or anything like
that. She was really gracious and calm. It was almost like she'd taken Prozac before she went. She just was sort of floating through the whole thing and just like above it all.
She wasn't like when he started off on his bollocks again. She did literally just laugh in his face.
Yeah.
But without,
she just sort of said, see?
Not in a cruel way.
It wasn't like provocative to wind him up. It was just like, I can't be arsed with you anymore. It was good.
She'd grown from it, and she, I just thought she did sort of float through like a happy, Happy Sprite.
Sprite's a good word.
Thank you.
What did you guys think of Bianca's return and a chat with JJ?
Bianca walked in with Mark.
Oh, yeah, they did.
A few of them walked in together.
That was really cute. Sweet, yeah.
Arthur walked in with someone with his vest, and I can't remember who that
one
was.
One of the other blokes, wasn't it?
Yeah. I do like Bianca, but that conversation she had with JJ was like she hadn't forgiven him and hadn't moved on. But we're talking about 2 months gone, yeah, or more, because actually it's 6 weeks to the reunion and she left mid-show.
Yeah.
So I was expecting a bit more to be like, bygones are bygones, I hope you're all right. But to bring it up again, I was like, well, just move on because it's a classier move.
I was worried she was coming across a little badly there.
Yeah.
Because yes, she's the wronged woman and she gave an amazing speech. The classy thing to do, which she did do at the commitment ceremony.
Yeah, she did do it well.
I think how she handled herself at the commitment ceremony was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then taking JJ to one side, or actually, did he take
her? No, he took her to one side, didn't he?
He took her to one side, so fair enough.
And he had, like, people have said on Twitter that, well, he didn't apologise at the time. It's like, he did. But it's never going to be an apology which is accepted.
Yeah.
And it was a shouting match.
It was a shouting match.
It became a bit of a meme.
Like, she was going, you're a prick. And he was just going, yeah.
I know.
You took it all on the chin, but that isn't the time or the place for the sincere apology. But then when she was getting a bit riled up at this dinner party saying, and to see you come in separately, it's like you've played two women. It's like, I'm not played two women. It just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You want me to apologise for that not working out?
I don't think they could have won. Because if they'd come in happy, she would have been like, well, that hurts. And if they come on apart, she's like, well, that was a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
So I don't think they could have won. And I do feel for her, but I think the classy thing would have just been to completely leave it. And if he took her to one side, just be able to say, it's fine.
Yeah.
But that's just because I'd be worried about looking like a fool. So I guess it's always more important to say what you're actually feeling. What she's actually feeling was she was still a bit hurt.
Yeah.
I guess we forget that they spend so many months applying for the show. And then if you're not taken seriously when you actually get onto it by your partner and just dismissed, that is going to sting for longer than 6 weeks.
It is.
And we'll allow her a few more weeks.
Yeah. And I do think these dinner parties, like the emotional kind of charge that's flying around these dinner parties anyway, is going to impact how you respond to people.
Well, we said this,
and then you throw the Prosecco and the red wine and whatever else in the mix. Yeah. Well, so
we saw JJ saying, my blood pressure's really high.
They were all stressing about it, weren't they?
To quote Domenica, when she said, my blood pressure's really high, I need to take my shoes off.
There was a point where Matt's face went the colour of beetroot, but I can't remember what. Do you remember him going bright red? But I can't remember.
And didn't JJ go a bit red as well? Because Alice said that to him, didn't
she?
Yeah, didn't
she?
Is that why you're so pink?
Yeah, that's what he said. His blood pressure was
up. There was a point when there was like a gaggle of girls and Bianca was in there, Laura was in there, maybe Jay. Can't remember who else, and it was like so many single people just sat there like completely unattached. Shona, sorry.
Was that I didn't mention earlier with Adrienne, was it when they went to that back room that we kept seeing?
I can't remember.
It's got a vending machine.
That was later. That was later, yeah. Like the kitchen.
In case they get hungry when they're having their little patty.
Yeah. Kept flying off to the kitchen.
I'll have a Diet Coke. Or a Fanta lemon.
George and Peggy.
George and
I guess they've shocked us all.
You know what? I've said this. I actually had a little Twitter exchange.
A little cry.
I was thinking, no, you didn't.
I've actually had a little cry.
No, I exchanged tweets with George because for some reason he thought we still didn't like him. I was like, thanks for listening to the podcast.
I was just going to say, I do not believe he's a listener.
Yeah.
If you get slagged off week one, you maybe don't want to come back week two.
Well, that's
and week two. And week two, we started to soften to him straight away, I think. Week one, it was just the boob thing.
Yeah,
it was the boob thing.
From,
the boob thing
from
was too much.
OnlyFans discussion, which was on the honeymoon.
Yeah. Oh, yes. When he basically said, if you want to, you can. But that was not
you're your
right
own person.
Yeah, but we quite like that.
Where he walked into that fairly basic trap.
Yeah. They have shown us all, and cut to head like another day, her family have accepted him, which was the biggest hurdle.
They let him sit on the settee.
Yeah, it's the biggest hurdle.
Under a blanket.
He's like been playing with her niece and nephew or whatever it was, and like he's genuinely
always been playing with her.
He's genuinely part of the family. So I guess that gives a hint of it could last.
Yeah.
If that was their biggest hurdle or
yeah.
I think they seem quite sweet together, to be honest. Like
on the commitment ceremony couch, it was the first time I've seen, like, actual connection back and forth.
And affection, quite gentle.
Peggy was saying quite nice stuff about him. Like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
They were more relaxed together, weren't they? Whereas they have been like physically affectionate before, but there's always been like a bit of tension.
What?
Because you know there's some back and forth coming from like, I don't know, I might like him, I might not.
When do you think they're going to have sex?
Well, hopefully.
I did wonder what Peggy was waiting
behind
for.
Closed doors.
We'll never know now.
Yeah.
Oh, unless they come back for the Christmas thing. And then somebody will ask them.
I think they've quite surprised everybody, maybe. Do you think the group now like him more? Because we never understood why there was...
Yeah. I don't know if they do. We don't really see any of the other lads. Well, they sort of interact with him a bit. I mean, he was hearing about the... I guess we're coming to couples where we're going to talk about more drama. George was part of hearing about the photo from Luke.
Should we talk about the Jordan and Erica situation?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we've skirted around that, but that was potentially one of the twists.
We've got through the... We've got through the 58 other couples now, so let's talk.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Right, hang on. First of all...
Yeah.
Is omission still a lie?
I think it is. I think if you're trying to hide something from by omission, then you're concealing the truth.
I mean, he's an idiot. You've obviously got to tell that level of detail.
I mean, especially when you know there were other people there.
Yeah.
And you know you're coming to the reunion, and you know it's being filmed, and you know it's all about drama.
Yeah.
So he really should have got ahead of that situation and said, look, this is what happened. Paul was there, Thomas was there, Arthur was there, whatever, you can ask them. This is what happened, and that's that. Would have quashed it straight away, wouldn't it?
Well, we had an interesting chat right at the beginning of the series when Portia and Terence, the spin the bottle thing.
Yes.
She kissed somebody. I can't remember what happened now. Did she kiss somebody?
Yeah, we don't know, do we? So, X amount of people.
We talked about what is cheating, and it's different for each couple. And I just want to know in what context Jordan is slumped in the back of a taxi with his arm around a girl and they've both been drinking and like there might be no intention there or he might be flirting. We don't know. The photo is quite damning, but at the same time, in Jordan's head, he hadn't physically done anything wrong.
Yeah.
But was the intention to disrespect Erica? Or, you know, do you know what I mean? Like the line is so blurred.
Yeah.
Because if I saw a picture of my partner in the back of a taxi with an arm around, I'd want to believe them, but I'd also be really hurt at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'd want to know the context.
Yeah.
And if someone kisses you and you push them straight away, then that's great because you've shown a boundary. But like for them to get close enough in a scenario to think they can kiss you shows you've been giving signals potentially of being quite flirty through the night. You don't know.
I said earlier in the series, specifically about Jordan, don't let anyone get that close to you.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did. You called it.
Wow, you predicted the future there.
Was there one with Harrison last season where somebody lent in? Oh no, it was
the numbers.
That was
the numbers.
And I remember
giving out numbers.
And I remember thinking, if he's given off the signal that he's open to your number, he's already been flirty enough to have sort of cheated emotionally. Yeah.
And then he'd said something like, well, I gave her my number just so she'd leave me alone.
Yeah.
I wanted to spare
her blushes. And
that was it.
But I don't know if Jordan's was similar to that.
Maybe, yeah.
It's certainly not nice for Erica to hear.
Whatever he's done, Paul and Thomas and Arthur, when they were lined up by Erica on that settee, which was brilliant. Yeah, she sat him down. I was like, those three are fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted to tell the truth, but they just didn't want to be involved. Yeah.
But also Thomas and Paul are two of the nicest guys and probably the most like chill guys. And so if I was Erica and those were the two delivering the news, I'd believe everything I heard because they're not stirrers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like the opposite of stirrers.
But that was the interesting thing I thought was just like randomly Thomas goes to Paul, should we go talk about the elephant in the room? It's like, what? Come on.
That was
quite comical, really.
I guess it's up to Erica, and obviously we saw that maybe she will forgive him, but are they on a boys' night out?
Yeah.
And if so, why are girls in the taxi?
Because
I'm not saying boys and girls can't hang out, but like, if it's a boys' night out, who are these random girls?
Just girls. What do you mean?
That they've picked up. No, but this was during the show. Oh, I guess they'd left the show.
Yeah, it's like,
I was thinking it was a night out during the show.
Oh, right. No.
Where like, you know, they go for like girls' drinks, boys' drinks or whatever.
Yeah.
No, they've left. Arthur's single. Thomas is single.
Sorry, yeah. Jordan Scott
on a night out.
Jordan and Paul are the ones who were still in their relationship.
For some reason, I thought it was during the process, but you're right, they'd left. I mean, not saying girls and guys can't hang out, that's not what I'm saying, but it's just like, what was Jordan's intention? And
as you've said, Claire, with all the things you know about this situation, this group of people, tell her everything.
Yeah. You will find out.
Yeah, if there's going to be evidence somewhere.
Fuck around, get found out. And I think it was probably the right thing in the end that she did forgive him. But it was really interesting what Mel said, because Mel was like, yes, you should try and break those patterns, but also not tar your next person with the same brush. So it's like, two things can be true. But it's quite hard to find the right thing to do in that scenario. Yes, you have to just go with your gut. And for Erica, she'd put a lot into this relationship. And was she willing to throw it away over something where he had been seen by the boys pushing that girl off him? So I guess her concrete evidence is he didn't want to be kissed.
Yeah, and they all agreed on that.
Yeah.
But he should have told her that at the beginning.
What did you think of their argument at the... throughout the night, but
it
specifically...
It was spicy, extra spicy. Wow. No mango and lime, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, she was pushing...
Lemon and herb.
Lemon and herb.
Yeah. Although you had lemon and herb the other day and you said...
It was spicy. Oh my God.
Was it
put the wrong sauce on my lemon and herb. And it was too spicy. But I used to like mango and lime. They don't do it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to bring that up.
I know.
It got heated. But yeah, Jordan cannot... be in the, like, he has a real aversion. It's almost like he's allergic. He's allergic to anyone saying anything about him out of his control. It really upsets him if things are said about him or about his relationship that he can't kind of have any evidence for. Or so he just looks like he's flailing out of control if somebody says something about him.
The response online was interesting, because a lot of people, again, fairly, I think I did the vote on Twitter and Instagram, and it was split, but it's like both people won on the other poll, if you know what I mean.
Right. No. Carry on.
It was close on both platforms.
Okay.
But opposite.
Right. Now we'll get you, I think.
But basically, people were almost as annoyed by Erica's response as by Jordan's, even though Jordan is the one who'd done stuff and he was very defensive. Claire said it's because women are hated on Twitter.
Yeah,
Twitter hates women.
It's which true. Is a fair point. And it started a big debate of, like, she's been screaming in his face all night. She won't listen to him. He's got OCD and she should know this. It's like, but does any of that stuff? Like, look at his whatever his neurodivergent status is. But that's true of kind of, and everybody's got their stuff. Like, if you look at Tasha, diabetes. Right? We know we've spoken about before, history of difficult relationships. Yeah. So her responses are her responses because of the way she's brought up, or toxic relationships, which we all have sympathy for. Everybody's got their reasons for...
how they are, how they behave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In that moment, Erica isn't going to be, oh, well, he's got OCD, so I bet she's going to be like, you're fucking cheating on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she can't live in fear of expressing herself in an authentic way. She can't just simmer down... to like placate him, and actually he should be able to take it if he's the one who put himself, he was the one photographed with somebody, he was the one who didn't tell her the truth. So I think her reaction was sort of warranted.
I think so.
And she was really hurt. And it was really sad, because it was that classic thing of, like, it's easier to go to anger first than to go to hurt first. So she went to anger, then as soon as he'd gone, she started crying on the sofa and was much more subdued and in on herself. And it was like, she was just hurting.
Yeah.
She was just shocked, because they came in. Do you remember they did the little B-roll and they looked like Posh and Becks when they were coming out of their hotel room holding hands and being like, we're not going to let this rumour break us.
Yeah.
But then it very quickly unravelled, because he hadn't told her the whole truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had this united front, but he didn't really put the effort in to make sure it was united enough.
Yeah. And how awful to go into a situation where friends are telling you a different version of events than what happened.
Yeah.
And then you're faced with it from people, like, you should know that about your partner.
It's horrible.
Not being told it by a group of friends. They are friends.
It's humiliating for her.
Well, it's the moment in last year's, a year before Maths Australia, where Cody, was it, brought up Domenica's OnlyFans account.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
And it was set up by Olivia. He brought it up, but then fortunately she'd already told Jack.
Yeah.
So it was like,
yes, she, yeah, yeah.
Jack's still my favourite of all time. He was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I love Jack.
He just had a baby with his girlfriend.
Oh, congratulations!
But I saw on Instagram.
But even you bringing that up, we have moved on so far in a year and a half or 2 years from like the reaction of the group to OnlyFans. Like, no, but don't you think like how it's much more now? Well, I don't know. I just think the reaction was quite like old school.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you've sinned, dunk the witch, yeah. Dunk the witch.
Yeah. That's true,
it was
actually,
from half and half though, wasn't it? Because a fair few people were on Domenica's side, like, yeah, it's OnlyFans, what's the issue? And then other people were just like, ooh, she's yeah, OnlyFans, true, oh my God, she's
I do know what you
him,
mean. Like, it's like, I don't know if even people would know. OnlyFans just wasn't in common parlance.
Yeah, no. It seemed more shocking, I guess, then.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
was used by Olivia in such a horrible way to like try and like...
Well,
squash her.
The link I want to make from there is, I love this moment when Luke came in.
And he was smiling about anything that went wrong with Jordan.
Oh no,
like,
you're going to say when he walks through.
When he first walked past, and Jordan in the middle of this argument with Erica didn't even look at me. By the way, I don't give a fuck, Jordan.
Yeah, no,
that was really good. Have you been practicing?
Yeah.
No, I agree. He got so distracted by that. But Luke, I mean, we'll come to Luke, but he was smirking the entire time.
And he was very quick to whip out that photo.
It was very Machiavellian.
How would he even
wasn't
have
it?
That photo?
Exactly.
He wasn't there. He wasn't there. So
Arthur might have sent it to him. I can't imagine Paul would. I can't imagine Thomas
would.
No, but
I think Thomas was in the photo.
Yeah. I think it was Thomas taking the photo. I didn't get
caught. Oh, Uber driver sent it to Luke on Instagram.
He's got his spies.
Luke was more excited about the drama than he was about seeing Jay again. Yeah. He went over and said, like, you're all right, and then fucked off.
She said...
Yeah, straight to show the photograph around.
Do you remember she said he hasn't seen me for weeks? And he's that's it. And then he ran over to talk about Jordan. Yeah. It was so disappointing. I know that Luke left on a low because there was the little punchy-punchy, slappy-slappy.
Pushy-pushy.
But he disappointed me so much over the last two nights with just his sort of... inability to fight for Jay. Jay's absolute gold. Jay is such an amazing, interesting, funny girl who's willing to give him chance after chance. And he was so dismissive of her. He wasn't... And one of my favourite moments was him being called out by PCB.
Yeah.
It was so satisfying.
Amazing.
It was so satisfying because he was like, not good enough, mate. And he was like, I'm not willing to change. It was one of those ones, like Brad did, where he went, yeah, I'll allow her. I'll allow her to do that, as if he had the upper hand of knowing what was happening with the experts. And then when Luke was saying, I'm not going to change for anybody, I think he thought that was a really emotionally evolved thing to say, of like, nobody should change you. And Paul was like, no, mate, we all have to grow and evolve. That's what part of being human is, in an adult. And he really called him out on it, and he still didn't agree to take any of it.
Very, very immature, which you can tell from just like, you know, all his smirking, his Ricky Gervais style shaking his head when he's being told something he doesn't.
But I feel disappointed by that, because I thought there was a side to him that was bigger than that.
I think we've misjudged him, or he's shown us a side that he knows is more personable. But we've always been unsure, because Claire said this last night.
Yeah.
Said, oh, I thought we liked Luke. I was like, did we? I think the best thing I've ever said about him is I've had mixed feelings about him.
Yeah. I think we liked him at the wedding because him and Jay got along so well.
And do you remember when she was singing and his eyes were like shining watching her sing, and he was like, he said to camera, out of earshot of her, so it wasn't to like please her, you couldn't have put me with someone better. Yeah. I really, really like her. And I was like, well, that's good.
But then he also on the honeymoon,
this was it, very quickly on the honeymoon, it was, well, we're not that sure about the whole Grand National thing and who came first and all that.
Yeah.
So very quickly we were a bit sort of like, well, we're not quite that sure. And it did seem to kind of just like a gentle slope downwards from there until this point we're at now, I think.
I liked them when they were first together. And I remember there was a moment when they were on that yacht and he was asking her really, really nice questions about, and he was talking about his own family with disability and like how their childhoods, and he was asking her like really meaty questions. And then I know what you mean, like it's been a gentle slope down where she's had to do a lot more of the work.
Yeah.
And he obviously, let's not forget, you know, rob a bank stuff. Yeah. And
I know.
And then getting physically violent, and like, I just wanted more for her. And I think if he had fought for her in that moment or shown any sign of change or growth, I think there could have been a chance for them.
I did wonder, was willing. As it was happening on the commitment ceremony couch, like I thought, oh, are they gonna get back together now? Because I wondered if they They might still be together.
It's
now.
It's the twist.
Yeah. No, I did think that, yeah.
No, there's no twist.
But yeah, he's just come across as like a bit of a prick, really.
And she still has such strong feelings for him, because she was saying, like, I'm going to miss him. He's not going to be in my life. I can't believe he's not going to be in my life.
She's
and
really sad.
I guess there's a lot, you can put a lot on, like, just familiarity, like having someone around every day, living with them, getting to know their, like, daily routine and their habits and stuff. That you would miss that gap in your life, whether they're the perfect partner for you or not.
You sound like Peggy's mum.
Do I?
That's what Peggy's mum said, remember?
Oh, no.
Just before final vow, she was like, yeah, but I miss him. She's like, well, yeah, but that's just because you see him every day.
Oh. Well, me and Peggy's mum are in the same book club.
I think it was Peggy's mum.
Luke said at the dinner party that, and again at commitment ceremony, I've never made as much effort as I have with you.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're not even returning text messages, it sounds like. It's like going, like, oh, it's like Harold Shipman saying, oh, I'm trying really hard. I've only killed four nanas this month.
Oh, I know, like, his levels of effort.
Yeah.
We're piss poor. Yeah. And to be sat, this is what I keep thinking, like, do these people not care even how they're coming across on TV? Because he was sat on that sofa and all the experts were like, come on, we need a bit more from you. And he was like, nah.
Yeah.
And to be that, like, dogged is almost admirable, because I was like, you look like such a knob right now. And Jay's crying next to you. Jay is such a gorgeous person. And I don't think Jay's had, like, a favourable edit and she's actually a nasty person. I think she seems so genuine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we love that she's northern. But she just seems... And she was sat there next to him, being trampled on, basically, of like, no, he's not willing to fight for me one iota.
Well, she's obviously... emotionally intelligent. She knows what's going on, that I'm chasing someone who doesn't want to be chased.
Yeah.
And why is it, Claire, that you think he doesn't want to be chased?
Oh, I knew you were going to make me say that.
I want to hear.
Sometimes, you know, when we're watching maths, I'll say to Omar, I don't want to say this on the podcast.
But you didn't say that about
it. Well, I should have.
I want to hear it now.
Well, I feel I actually did use the words fuckboy, didn't I? Isn't that bad? But I just wonder, especially from what I've seen on Instagram and things like that, whether Luke plans to just ride the crest of the maths wave and get some girls.
I would have thought so.
And so doesn't want to be tied down in a relationship, because he'll just be out in Essex and, you know, living his best life.
And if the evidence we have is that he's not replying to messages, that really adds up of, like, you're not very committed if you can't reply. It wasn't like they were coming across these huge hurdles of, like, oh, well, we have different, like, political views or religious beliefs, or my parents don't like your parents or whatever. It was just he can't reply.
Yeah.
And so when it's that obvious...
Yeah.
And he shot himself in the foot by talking about distance as well, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Because he said, but it's the distance. He's like, that's an excuse.
Big Paul said mini Paul would crawl over broken glass to get to...
Yeah.
Which just doesn't sound very nice. But
sounds a bit extreme.
20 miles over broken
glass. I think it was like 200 miles.
All right. So we know we're jumping about a lot. So we're going back and back. End of term. Fuck it.
Yeah. And we've done it every episode.
Thomas and Roz, I thought their little mingly bit at the mingle was
the mingly mingle.
Yeah, it was nice. Thomas was quite honest with her, though, when Roz asked, like, how's your mum doing and things. We were like, I had to do a lot of defending of you.
She was upset. I'm sure
she knew that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've both been really honest with each other as well, because when he said, oh, and I'm sorry, I haven't really been replying to your messages, but, like, I don't see the point if then you feel like you have to reply to me. Yeah. It was almost like, he said a couple of times, let's just leave it now and, like, it's okay, I'll...
Yeah, it makes sense. You're a nice person, I'm a nice person, let's...
I feel like they probably will stay friends because they do seem to have that sort of bond. But yeah, you still get her crying about it, though, so it's not like... can we skip to the... couch, because I thought it was really interesting the way Mel was wording her questions, because it was almost like she was giving them a chance to reconcile right then and there.
Well, I did wonder if this would be the twist.
I know. I know for a second they actually
get back together on the couch.
Same. But. And the way Mel was wording it was quite open-ended, but sort of nudging Roz more towards, well, you're never going to be... She said, like, well, the only way to be braver is to make brave choices. Mm. And Roz was saying, will I ever be in love? Like, will anyone ever be enough? Or something like that. And Mel was like, well, you've got to take the chance. It was almost like she was really nudging her to give this amazing guy a chance.
I mean, honestly, I tuned out while you were talking there because...
Fair enough.
I was just imagining that I've complained about the ending of this series. If Tom and Rosa got back together at the mm-hmm. reunion commitment ceremony, that would have been a punch the air moment.
There would have been like fireworks yeah. in the sky.
Yeah.
Love eggs all around the nation buzzing.
That was funny when he said, I'll sell you your sex toys.
Yeah.
The half price.
I think he's grown in confidence in yes. this. Like, he's a lot more sort of jokey. He was a really, really shy, posh boy from what we saw at the beginning. That wasn't necessarily his true character.
Yeah.
But he was very much like, we haven't consummated yet, all of that sort of stuff. And now he's a lot more like jokey, and I guess he's been hanging around with like Arthur.
Well, I remember he made a particular joke, and I thought, oh, actually, he's got a good beyond the Neolithic simian stuff. Like when he said, I'm excited to meet my new mummy and daddy.
I know, really
made me laugh.
Yeah, he is funny. I did want Roz to say she'd give him a chance on the sofa.
Yeah. But here, I don't know if at that stage he would have said he wanted to as well.
Maybe not.
I think he's quite sensible. I don't know if he'd want time to think about it. I don't know.
And his mum doesn't like her anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think once somebody has said they don't want children with you, that's quite a damning sentence to come back from, maybe. As much as she might say she was just scared or whatever. That was a very specific thing it to was. Say.
Laura didn't get any time, did she, really? It's a shame.
So I wonder what would have been said on the sofa if Arthur had turned up. Like you say, they're quite a fascinating couple.
Probably, why are you wearing that,
Arthur? what would you have worn? Yeah, a boiler suit.
I would like
just
to know why he wasn't there.
Just a pair of Speedos.
I would like to know why he wasn't there. Because we weren't expecting Nathaniel anyway, were we?
Yeah.
So
as we've said, we're surprised how many people turned up
Also, Arthur is sort of Mr. Good Time a lot of the time. So I think he would have wanted to be there even just to see his friends again.
Yeah.
But then actually the commitment ceremony is not that fun, is it? The fun part is the dinner party with the free alcohol.
I know, but it feels like you shouldn't really be able to pick and choose. Like, if you're going to come to the reunion, you have to do both bits.
Yeah.
Or you have to do no bits. Like, Nathaniel did none of them.
I wonder what kept him away.
Yeah.
Because he can stand up for himself. Like, I don't think he would have been nervous. Maybe he was, I don't know.
Maybe he was too hungover.
Yeah. They did say they start filming the commitment ceremonies at like 7, 8 a.m. It's not much fun.
You just couldn't be bothered to get ready.
Talk about your like character in front of the nation at 8 a.m. Laura didn't really get a chance to say anything. She just said she's learnt some lessons. What did she... It was almost like question time, wasn't it? Like PMQs, because it was like going into the audience.
Yeah.
It was like... Sean and Mark didn't get a chance to sit on the sofa. No. They were like, you're right over there. Yeah, yeah, we've learned a few things. Like, okay,
we're good now.
Laura, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've learned. What did Laura say?
Something about being confidence? A girl boss. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Was it just about confidence and knowing what she wants, or I don't know.
In a way, it's quite...
Some generic stuff.
It's quite an anticlimax. It's quite an anticlimax for some people on this show, isn't it? Because you're on the show as a main part for weeks, and then that's it.
That's it.
Especially if you're Laura, because your partner doesn't show up, and like, whether you're Team Arthur, Team Laura, it's like, that's a bit of a crap ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the vest.
It's a damp squib.
Yeah.
I was going to say that before. The way to remember is it's not a squid, because all squids are damp.
Yeah.
That is... But that could be misleading.
Always damp.
Oh, okay. I remember that now.
Remember the thing that is incorrect to remember the correct one. People are always complaining that the experts don't hold people to account, don't hold the participants to account.
Okay.
PCB and Brad.
Yes.
He did get held to account.
He really did.
PCB, even though it was in the past, almost stole my phrase of weaponizing wellness.
Oh, he did. Yeah,
he did.
He said... You have an overinflated sense of your own emotional intelligence.
Yep.
And then you weaponize it. Absolutely cut him down.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he really... do you know what? I don't want to give Brad credit, but he is he's a flawed human being like we all are. He took it.
But he's not...
But
come on.
He did the same thing with Mel, though. I can't remember what Mel said, but Mel was maybe talking about the love bombing or something like that. And he was going,
Charlene.
That's right,
true. Charlene,
it's like, well, you don't really agree.
Yeah, she goes, do you have any thoughts on what Mel and Paul have said? And he goes, just to learn.
I agree. Yeah,
I take it back. Yeah. But he didn't have some, like, maybe he's not clever enough to have a one-liner to come back with, but he just sort of took it, didn't he?
Yeah.
But it just didn't feel genuine the way he took it, did it? Like, it didn't feel like it landed in a way. Because if you realise that about yourself, that is going to bring some emotions with it, because it's hurtful to realize stuff like that about yourself. So a genuine response would have had some emotion.
That's very true.
Connected with it, wouldn't it?
Very true.
But if you just go, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, you're just agreeing with a fact. There's no emotion there.
Have we ever seen any emotion apart from that time he was irritated and told Shona to shut up?
No.
Never seen any emotion from him.
I think he thinks staying on like a plateau is like a guru vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being emotionless is being in touch with your emotions.
But Shona...
In his mind. Yeah. Not in our mind.
Shona worded love bombing, didn't she? She actually verbalised that. And then Mel was like, yes, with her fingers. Yeah. She was like, you got it.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting. It must be really satisfying for the experts when they can see somebody come to that realisation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent Brad and Shona off not knowing if they would stay together for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it would get worse and worse. Or whether it would just be done in a day. They ended up staying together for a few weeks.
Legally, we no longer have responsibility.
Please sign here.
But yeah, Brad was held to account. And I love when Paul leans in and says it like it is, personally.
Leans in.
We are left with three successful couples.
Mm-hmm.
Erica and Jordan, George and Peggy, and Paul and Tasha.
Yeah.
And is that from 20 couples?
Were there 20 couples?
Well, I'm looking at our jigsaw behind you, and that's 8.
What?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. No, not 20.
12.
12.
I was like, no way.
My maths is so bad. I was in the bottom set maths, and my teacher once said to me, if we had enough staff, there'd be another set just for you.
Oh, that is so mean.
I remember her name.
Yeah, I won't remember that.
You know, I was only joking about Wayne and Margaret.
Yeah. 12 couples. So of 12 couples, 3 come out together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan and Erica, we've not really spoken about their time on the settee.
Mm.
But the thing I wanted to talk about really was again about Luke, just saying he's going to get away with this. And you know, well, if you could get away with robbing a bank.
I know.
That's come back to haunt him, hasn't it? From his nemesis.
I'm not saying Luke and Jordan are alike, because I don't actually think they are. But it's an interesting dynamic when you know that somebody's pissed off at someone because they actually see themselves reflected. You know, when it's like sometimes you see your own things you don't like about yourself in someone else and you really don't like them.
Yeah.
That's a thing, isn't it?
I like everything about myself.
No, but that is a thing. If something really annoys you in someone else, it's probably because you don't accept that part of yourself.
Yeah.
You don't like that thing about yourself.
Do you have a nemesis?
In life, in real life.
People in real life don't have nemesises.
Nemesis. I don't know. There might be somebody plotting against us listening right now, but...
Fucking receptionist at GP.
Oh, yeah.
She is your nemesis right now.
I've been in 4 times to try and register. I've taken every form of ID.
Yeah, but Omar, who gave you that wrong advice?
Yeah, she did.
Who was it?
Jesus Christ. Anyway. But they've... Jordan did apologise, eventually.
Oh, my word.
Eventually.
He was really struggling to say the word, wasn't he? Do you think it was because he was put on the spot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was Paul, wasn't it, whispering under his breath, he just needs to apologise.
Yeah.
He just needs to say sorry.
And then PCB was saying that you still just didn't quite apologise.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did eventually get round to it. And like you said, the advice from Mel was good about Erica not necessarily forgetting the lessons she's learned, but not tarring Jordan with the failures of other people.
Which I think's hard in relationships in general. If you think about, like, if you see patterns and then you're trying to avoid them and you have the sense it might be coming again, but you can't bring forward, like exactly what we've talked about, like not tarring somebody with the same brush. Keep on giving people fair chances, but also trying to, like, be alert to, like, where they might...
not do the same thing again.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that was a real, like... It was a big step for her to do that, I think. Because it sounds like she's been really, like, messed around by blokes. She's like, this is always me. I'm always like... I was like, oh, bless her. She's gorgeous. Like, I don't understand. So when Tasha and Paul were on the sofa... I mean, I know they're not quite the lovebirds we wanted them to be, but it is still quite sweet that they're together. And the expert said to them, I think it was Paul, love allows you to be your best self. And I think they both have grown quite a lot, haven't they? Or did they say that to put? Did they say that to Peggy and George, actually?
They said the love of a good woman.
The love of a good woman makes you a good man.
Yeah.
We'll come to Peggy and George. Now, with Paul and Tasha, I do think Tasha has grown a lot. And I think they have the potential to be really, really good together. Like, he did say he wanted a fiery girl, and she's fiery. But also, she hasn't argued with Erica since that episode way back, and I was worried that she was every week going to be having an argument with somebody and Paul was going to be put in the middle, but that didn't happen again, so I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I just thought, I just thought that experts can see something there where the best selves are being brought out by each other, and they're the couple who are genuinely talking about like getting a place together, and just feels like it's got legs.
I mean, I wish them well. You know, I'm glad there's some successful couples. We often complain that we want more genuine, successful couples. What did sound insincere?
I'm just laughing because you're the one. You founded a Married at First Sight fan podcast and you're so nonchalant about these people. You couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like, this is your like side hustle, and you're like, couldn't care less about them, don't care about them. I don't like anybody.
You just like to be drama adjacent.
I'm more curious actually about George and Peggy. I hope they are on this. If there is a episode 37, I hope they are on there so I can see what's going on.
Yeah,
firstly,
yeah.
To see, well, the big question is, what are those trousers?
They were so funny.
Candy stripes. Yeah, they were. Maybe they're French.
They were quite candy stripes, were they?
Candy
stripes are like
tank.
Nicer colours.
I don't know.
No.
Like, they were like tangerine and raspberry
red.
George has changed a lot on this show. Yeah. And I don't know if it's the way he was edited, but he's gone, and if you're listening, George, he's gone from being like the person who really gave us the ick at the beginning to be the person I'm most interested in and most like respect his opinion. There's been a few times where he's like really stood up for Peggy, stood up for himself. Mm-hmm. Not been like really
swore
involved.
Swore a Porsche in French. not
been involved in like unnecessary drama. So, I don't know. There's something about him that I find really compelling now.
Yeah, I think PTB's thing of maturity is when your actions match your words.
Yes.
And he seems to have done all the things he was asked to do.
Yeah.
In the face of Peggy and her family.
But if we think of this as his first relationship, it's definitely been a test for him of like, wow, you really have to meet in the middle, or not even the middle. You have to go 90 and let them go 10. Like,
you know,
one
of the rumours I heard about the twist.
What?
That they were going to come back to the reunion properly married and pregnant.
Whoa.
Peggy and George?
Yeah. But it turns out they haven't even been having sex.
Immaculate.
Yeah, that would be tricky.
Wow. No, I think they've stunned us all in a way of like the fact that they seem this strong and the fact that there's been times. Do you remember the episode where they woke up and they had been doing bits in the night, as they say on Love Island? And also then they had the fight about Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
And it was the most up-down episode where it seemed like they were doing really well, then completely off. Then
yeah.
And I feel like they've found their plateau now.
Yes.
Or at least it seems that way.
That was the episode. Then, yeah, that episode, a minute after that, he put a fifth in his list of priorities.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like she sent him on the like emotional like ultimate ninja challenge and he's got to the end and she's like, okay, you can wear the medallion now. It's almost like he's proved himself enough to be her, maybe not to sleep with her, but to be her like pretend husband.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good maybe segue into just looking back on the series. What, apart from that particular episode, any other notable things? I think the Bianca speech is
that's a big one, isn't it?
That was probably the biggest moment. I mean, just in terms of numbers on our socials and things.
And that whole dinner party was...
That whole dinner party was crazy.
It was like a Renaissance painting.
Yeah.
Ella pointing. Laura going, me, what the fuck have I done?
People holding like tankards of wine, looking up in shock.
Avoiding eye contact.
You mention this every time when they're drinking red wine out of a Prosecco glass.
Why do they do that?
They don't have red wine glasses.
They do have red wine glasses. Because we've seen them.
You can tell how middle-aged we are. This is
Use the appropriate glass.
I think when I think back on this series, I will think of Portia with her spoon.
Yes. Oh, spoon cake.
I will think of baguettes. I will think of Arthur in his vest. I will think of Ella's outfits. Mm. I'll think of Roz with her big eyes, like looking up at the camera in tears.
Like a deer.
I'll think of so many beautiful things.
Yeah. I like Mark saying he was 26 when he was 30.
I forgot about that.
I think that's the best moment.
Oh, and he didn't even take a breath, did he?
Yeah. And then I just lied. That was the best.
You're right. They would. It's a shame. They would have been really good to watch over it.
Their wedding was good.
I wish Sean hadn't bottled it.
I know.
I think even if they hadn't ended up together, just having them on the show for a bit longer.
Yeah.
And they were the only gay couple.
And they were a bit of kind of light relief in a way, weren't they? Like, totally. You know, because they were genuine. You could buy into them, but also they were fun and, you know, kind, it seemed. But
It's a shame.
They bought the new look Gucci collab that we needed.
Yes.
No one knew they needed.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what were some of my favourite moments.
I think one of your favourites was Luke going through the door. Beating up Jordan.
Just don't open the door. Well,
yeah, Luke going through the door. Because I'd expected... Because again, we've spoken a few times about how we'd heard some spoilers and things. And I'd heard months ago two of the grooms had got into a fight.
Oh.
And with this series starting later this year than we anticipated, like started a month later than it normally does, I was speculating that they'd had to re-edit the whole series to remove these two couples.
No way.
So, because I was thinking, like, how come they're putting celebs go dating on first? And then when it turned out, it was Luke who was in the fight, so we are going to see it.
Right. Mm.
And then we got to see him banging on the door. I was like, oh, here we go. Let's see. And then it was that. I was like, for fuck's sake. Really looking forward to that.
Do you want to see some, like, karate chops?
Yeah.
Nunchucks.
I enjoyed Thomas pulling that dildo out of his bag.
Do you know what I found interesting watching the last commitment ceremony? It's fascinating to watch everybody see the things they haven't actually seen. Because we forget, because we're watching the show, but they haven't seen any of that footage of themselves,
and
of their
wedding
friends.
And everything. Yeah.
They were all pissing themselves when they got to see Arthur say, I love you.
I know. And I don't know if they've even heard rumours of things that have happened, or whether some of it's just brand new information.
Yeah.
Brand new information.
I bet Laura told the girls about that. He said, I love you.
Yeah.
I know about that.
Oh, yeah. You would,
but that must be that must be a golden thing to watch, like the highlights reel of people you're sat with and haven't known quite what's happened behind closed doors.
That would be fun. Right.
Deep breath.
Yeah. We're done.
Exhale.
We'll be back in a couple of months.
Yeah. Well, you're done. I've got to edit this fucking thing.
Yeah, we're done. Woo.
No, but it's been a really good series. I've really enjoyed it. Again, going twice a week as well. It's been a lot of recording and watching of Maths.
I think I want to say thank you to anyone who's listening, because they're probably the diehards who've listened the whole way through.
Yeah.
So if you're still with us, you're very...
We made it too.
You're very charitable.
Yeah. Now, to be sincere for a second, it has been our biggest series. Every series we do, it gets bigger, which is an amazing thing. But this year in particular, and doing the coercive control episode, I'm really proud that we did that. Yeah, so thank you to everyone who listens and interacts. Thank you to you too as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, because I was going to pack it in. And I thought...
We swept in, swooped in, wiped in. Even though we can't talk, but you know, we try.
Yeah, and it's been really fun. 9 weeks of... It is, you know, a fair bit of work, but it has been fun as well. I mean, I'm glad it's finished.
we need a break.
Yeah.
Enjoy your festive periods, everybody, and we'll see you in March? February?
Something like that. End of February, beginning
of March.
And
we've heard from Mel, it's a really good Australian series.
She said, I mean, I don't think she'll mind us.
I didn't know if this was embargoed.
No, I'm going to be vague. these are all the cast members, and these are their national insurance numbers. Now, she said that they're aiming to try and make it more real people in quotation marks, you know, less kind of Instagrammy type famous people, which would be good.
Nice.
It sounds like an interesting series, some slightly older couples potentially, and a bit of more of a mix. Good. But it's almost like it's trying to find its feet on your, like, overcorrection.
Yeah.
So Maths started off as really sweet and innocent and like general people, and it's gone so far the other extreme of being like TikTok stars or whatever. And now it's like, if it can find its happy medium, we love the drama, but we want real people who are there for the right reasons.
Yeah. And we want to see a mixture of people.
Yeah.
I think hopefully that's what we're going to be getting in February / March.
Wow.
So, until then, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah York.
Hey, goodbye from me, Clelim Rabid.
Hey, Sarah, get the fuck out my house.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.